Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
The views given on the following program are not necessarily the views of the station management or staff. Since individual situations can and will be different, please remember this when exercising any options presented by our guests.
Success is equated with success. The ambition for excess wrecks us. As the top of the mountain becomes the bottom line, where success is equated with success.
This is Care for My Wealth. With Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management, your fee-only investment firm. Now, here's your Care for My Wealth guy, Chris Klein.
This is Care for My Wealth right here on Fox Sports 1070 The Game. Joined this Saturday morning by Chris Klein. Of course, Chris comes to us from Capstone Wealth Management. You can learn more about Chris and his team at Capstone Wealth Management all on the website, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. Again, a great website. Learn more about Capstone and Chris and his team and their Go Anywhere strategy. Their telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. Email info at careformywealth. You can follow Chris as well on Twitter at careformywealth and listen back to the show. Or if you miss any part of the program, you can always head on over to our website, foxsports1070.com, careformywealth.com. Also ask your smart speaker to play the show and on all the popular podcast platforms, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all those great places as well. Chris, it feels like the show, so many ways to connect. It feels like the show's on. We've just went through the intro and it feels like we're almost out of time, but great to talk with you.
My word. Yeah. It's I talk about a guy that's easy to find.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. We are in amazing times. That is for sure. And stressful times. I mean, and as we talk about, you know, what's been going on globally, it's been a year now and kind of where things have been heading. Everybody is really feeling the pinch. I think you had said before the show, you said the squeeze is on, and it's really, it's tough right now. And it's more important than ever. I think we talked about that Go Anywhere strategy, and we talk about what you're able to do at Capstone Wealth Management. Now is the time to really be, well, a year ago, probably 2 years ago, probably would have been the time. But you don't want to. I think people need to. This now is the definite time to get on board and start that conversation with you, isn't it, Chris?
Well, you know, your point is well taken with regards to the consumer. You know, I don't think anyone listening right now that is reasonable with themselves can step back and say, there's not some type of sacrifice that somebody's having to make somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. You can walk through a grocery store and look at the cost of eggs, for example, which I know most people enjoy to some extent. You can look at the cost of, well, really anything. And it was proven just in the CPI report that was released this week, right? So, you know, the CPI report is a CPI report. And as we've said a million times, that's not something that you should use to quote, build your investment portfolio off of. In fact, quite the opposite, because consensus goes crazy every single time that comes out, and is no different this time. Only people are making choices and decisions in the investment community off of really, really, really bad assumptions. And I'll give you an example. So headline CPI comes out at 6.5%. That's a deceleration from the previous report of 7.1%. All right. What's that say? Nothing. It's quad four. It's where you get a slowdown or a deceleration in both corporate profits growth and inflation. So in an appropriate economic cycle where things are slowing, yeah, you're going to get inflation slowing. But what's it slowing to, right? And if you pull it apart and start looking inside, is the slowdown happening within a within the cost centers that affect consumers? And the answer to that is no, not at all. In fact, if you start looking inside this thing, what you'd find is that shelter, home, rent, things of that nature, that makes up about 34% of the CPI basket. Food at home, hey, let's face it, most people spend more time eating at home than they do out. Some might argue that the cost of eating out is cheaper these days than it is to eat at home. That could be an argument. I get it. But food at home is a 7.6% weighting. Medical, lots and lots of people have doctoring needs, and medical has a 6.7% weighting. Energy is at 3.7. Everybody has a wireless phone, so that's 1.6% weighting. So just those things I mentioned, shelter, food at home, medical, energy, wireless, that makes up 53% of the weighting of the CPI basket. Guess what just those components alone did on a year-over-year basis? They're up 7.9%. No deceleration from the previous report. In fact, it was an acceleration. So you've got all the crazies out there saying, hey, look, inflation is coming down. Inflation's coming down. And yeah, that's happening on the periphery with the mainline report, as it should within this particular portion of the economic cycle. But look inside. The key cost centers, the things that people have to spend money on, certainly do spend money on, are up over the previous report. And on a year-over-year basis, are up much, much more than what just the CPI data is. So ask yourself a question, Sean, as an investor, as a consumer, as a dad, as you continue to see all of these expenses and very important key cost centers go up in price, and as you continue to think about how that manifests itself on a national but also a global scale, if all those things are pinching consumers to the extent that we know that they are we really to expect that people are going to be spending more money over the next two quarters versus less?
No, holding back.
That doesn't make any sense. Okay, so if that's true, if the high and rising likelihood that the consumer is getting more and more squeezed and that the consumer is slowing down more and more and that the consumer is going to spend less inside of a consumer-driven economic structure like the United States has, are we to think that companies are going to make more money miraculously because people are spending less?
Doesn't check out.
I mean, just let that sink in. And if they're not going to be making more money over the next quarter or perhaps two, should we really expect their stock prices to go up? Again, doesn't make sense, right? But yet, people are going nuts. The S&P 500's breaking out. It's a new bull market. You turn on CNBC and you'll hear guys, very intelligent men like Jeremy Siegel say, yep, I think it's a new bull market. Really? Based on what? It's certainly not based on any fundamental economic data. You know what it's based on, Sean? Really big, major players in the options market that are literally engaging in nothing but degenerate gambling.
Oh.
And let me give you an example. Okay. So on Thursday and Friday of this week, on Thursday specifically, it was literally one of the biggest days ever in what are called zero DTE, which are 0 days to expiration call option buying. Now, anybody that's buying a call option expects whatever the underlying asset is that they're buying that call on to go up in value. These call options happen to be on the S&P 500. So it was over symbol SPY, or the SPYs as we call them. And if you look at what took place on Thursday, 10 of 11 of the most active SPY calls had a January 12th expiration. So they bought it on the 12th. It was to expire on the 12th. In other words, if it didn't go up in value and they didn't sell it, it expires worthless, right? Yes, that's degenerate gambling. But why is it done? It's done by three of these really, really big players. And I mean, they are the biggest of the big. Are they in cahoots with the government? I don't know. Don't have any proof of that. But they're doing it. And when they start to buy in mass, and I mean mass, I mean, let's face it, 10 of 11 of the active SPY calls going into a Thursday expiration, that's a big number. There's a lot of volume coming in them things, and there's a lot of money coming in those things. Well, when that happens, guess what dealers have to do? They have to sell volatility. Well, if they're selling volatility, what's that do to the S&P 500 volatility metric, which we all know is the VIX? It suppresses it, pushes it down, pushes it underwater, right? Well, the minute you drop the value of VIX, what do you do to the price of the S&P? It goes up. So these guys literally are able to manipulate the S&P 500 in a very, 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 very short window. And I mean short, like a day. One of the 11 instances of best, biggest zero DTE call buying ever was for yesterday's expiration for the 400 line or the 4,000 line on the S&P 500. Again, their objective is to get it to print, take it off the books, make their profit, and move on. Right? Sean, that stuff can't go on forever. And all I can tell you is that if you have a specific process behind understanding what markets are moving on, what the economic data is saying, a glimpse into where we are on that economic sine curve, right? The mathematical, you know, S that lays on its side, look at it that way. You get a glimpse into the fact that these manipulations that are going on in the market right now that have pushed the S&P 5 up positive for the year are not something that I would be interested buying into, and are absolutely not something that I think is going to last. Credit card debt. I don't know if anybody's taken a look at that lately, but the credit card debt, consumer credit card balances are up 15% year over year and are sitting at levels that are like the highest ever. Well, that just happens to be at a time where they've got the highest ever credit card interest rate too. You know, Sean, what my wife was walking through the grocery store this last week, doing just typical family grocery buying. And she just happened to walk past a young lady and a daughter and happened to overhear one of them say, "No, we can't do that. I don't get paid until Wednesday." People are living paycheck to paycheck. And the last calculated data that came out, that number is somewhere between 60 and 70% of working Americans are working paycheck to paycheck. That is not the type of cycle that emboldens people to spend money. They're clamping down. The consumer is not in great shape, you know, against what you'll hear on TV over and over and over and over and over and over again. The global cost of capital just keeps going up. How do I know that? Look at the two-year treasury. Look at the three-month treasury. The three-month treasury is now trading at 4.62% yield. If we look at where the three-month treasury was, just say, oh, I don't know, last summer as an example, it was at 1.24%. Now let that sink in for just a second. Who is affected by the cost of capital with treasury bonds like this? The government. Right now, the government's coupon payment represents about 15% of its receipts in you know, the its expenditures, if you want to look at it that way. But yet, since last June, the interest rate on the short end of the yield curve, three-month treasuries, has gone from 1.24% to 4.62%. And we're to think that the U.S. Treasury is solvent? Really? That's interesting. And interestingly enough, if you look at U.S. sovereign credit risk, right? Credit default swaps on U.S. sovereign credit risk continues to just ratchet itself higher. This is kind of a big deal, because if you look at it, it's at a price. Credit default swap, what is it? It's nothing more than insurance against the debt of something or someone, in this case, the U.S. government. Now, do I think the government's going to default? I have no idea. Could they? I suppose. Yellen just came out yesterday and said, hey, guys, guess what? If we don't do something about the debt ceiling, we're going to breach it on January the 19th. Hey, good job, U.S. government. You're spending like a drunken sailor. And now, instead of doing like what most Americans will do, find a way to tighten up your belt, you're just going to raise the bar. We're going to raise the debt ceiling. We're going to send out more debt at higher interest rates so that we have to pay more. That's going to cause more expense to the government. I mean, tell me that makes any sense. But that's what we're living in. These are the times that we are living in right now. The distortions that are happening inside global equity markets are a function of the economic cycle coming to a head. Bear markets do not end when everybody's excited. And Sean, I'm telling you, everybody is clamoring to buy U.S. equities and garbage. I mean, let me give you another example. Have you ever heard of Bed Bath & Beyond?
I sure have. I've been tortured by that place before.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you'd like to torture them back, go visit one of their stores. They're discounting everything. Oh. They're literally in liquidation, right? Week ago, they came out, week and a half ago, they came out and said, hey, we're probably going to declare bankruptcy. All right. Well, anybody that's been following the company knows that that has been a high and rising likelihood to happen. And so when they announced it, what happened? The stock got hammered, was down like 44% in 2 days. But wait, I feel like one of those commercials on TV, you know, they're selling you a product that says, but wait. So in the last week, what has Bed Bath & Beyond done? Oh, I don't know. Their stock's only gone up 300%.
What?
Now, let me ask you a question. If there's any fundamental reality to causing a stock for a company that's declaring bankruptcy to go up 300% in a week, I'd love to know what it is. Garbage companies that are going bye-bye tend to go up hard like that at the right when the shoe's going to drop, right? Right when things are going to get stupid again and get bad for the bulls. And this is not an isolated incident. I mean, if I go through the list of companies that are garbage companies that are probably going to zero, companies like Bed Bath & Beyond, companies like Carvana, companies like Beyond Meat. I had a conversation with an extremely intelligent business owner and investor the other day. And he says, you know, I tried that Beyond Meat once and that was terrible. I'm never doing that again. And I said, well, guess what? That's what most investors think too, because that company is probably a zero, but it hasn't stopped the stock over the past two and a half weeks to go up 45%. And people say, well, Chris, why is this happening? Short covering. Hedge funds are short a lot of those particular items. And when they started going up, they panic and they cover, which causes more buying, causes the stock to go up. And the next thing you know, you got a whole bunch of garbage going on. How about this? How about two of the bigger crypto exchanges, Genesis and Gemini, saying, you know, we're probably not going to be doing so well. We got problems. This whole FTX thing is really bad. And, you know, we're still trying to figure out how to get customers' money back. And Sean, you've read the crypto stories.
Oh, yeah.
You're in that game to some extent. You know what's going on there. It's not pretty. Right?
No.
But yet things that are crypto sensitive, right, have gone nuts. Again, Coinbase, here's another company that frankly is probably a zero. MicroStrategy, again, another company that's probably a zero, or at least much, much lower than its current price. All of these things have in the last roughly two and a half weeks gone up between 50 and 60% in price. That's not normal in a bull market. That's the sort of stuff you see in a bear market as short covering happens right to the point where it goes to a lower high and then it bashes investors once again. So fundamentally speaking, what we have to do is look at just what we know to be true. And it's simple. What we know to be true is that we have a Federal Reserve that is absolutely changed the way they think about the economic structure. they are looking at an inflation problem that won't go away. Does anyone reasonably think with key cost centers hitting the consumer up 7.9% on a year-over-year basis, with financial conditions having loosened over the last 2 weeks simply by what's occurred in the U.S. equity markets, does anyone think that the Fed's just going to all of a sudden come to the podium at the end of this month and say, you know what? We really messed up. We're done. We're going to start cutting rates now and then cause everything in terms of inflation items to rip higher?
Yeah, probably not.
Right. I mean, seriously, who thinks that that's going to happen? Investors that are not informed, investors that don't have a process, investors that don't have data to rely on that gives them an indication into what is happening inside global markets. Sean, all you got to do is listen to what they're saying. One of the Fed governors, a guy by the name of Bullard, came out this last week and said something north of 5% is the lowest, keyword lowest, level the Fed could use to limit inflation credibly. What? What does that suggest? It suggests Fed funds rates have a ways to go before they even consider stopping raising rates. He also said in almost the same breath, perhaps too much optimism that inflation will easily return to 2%. Why are they saying that? Because the U.S. equity market is going up. Investors are getting sucked in. People are of this belief that it's a new bull market and everything's going to be rosy. They're going to front run the Fed. They're going to get in front of them because they're going to cut rates. I'm telling you, they're not. They're not going to cut rates. They're going to keep rates higher for longer because inflation's going to stay higher for longer. And the longer and higher investors push this thing, the harder it falls. It's just the way it works. So, you know, for those of us that are bear market position, do we like to see a squeeze? Do we like to see a counter trend bounce? No, not at all. Because when that happens, we end up going backwards a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm also of the opinion, just simply based on what the data is saying and what we know to be true with manipulation in the options market, that that stuff doesn't last forever. And that sooner or later, the cycle will cycle. And as the cycle cycles, you end up with more of what you've got. And that is the trending movement of those asset classes that are trending. And you still look at every major index, it's trending bearish. If I look at volatility, it's still trending bullish. You know, yeah, it's a ball being held underwater right now, but it's being held underwater. Yeah. And no matter how you cut it or slice it, if all you did was listening to the Fed governors, they'd tell you, hey, look, we think inflation's too high. If you go shopping in a grocery store, you're going to instinctively know that that's true. If you do anything, you're going to know that that's true, maybe with the exception of buying a used car, right?
Yeah.
Used cars dropped 8.8%. over the last month. Gas down 1.5%. Well, that's just because oil is experiencing what happens in a quad four cycle with growth and inflation slowing. Demand slows. Ultimately, demand crashes. Well, if demand slows and crashes, that dramatically affects the price of oil. And oil is down a considerable amount from its June peak. But in the midst of everything else, fuel oil, which a lot of people use to heat their home, that's up 41%. Gas utilities, that's up 19%. Transportation in general is up 14%. Electricity is up 14%. The food at home component, which is one of the reasons why the key cost centers for consumers were up 7.9% on a year-over-year basis, food at home is up 11.8%. Food away from home is up 8.3%. It's a very difficult environment for the consumer right now. And so anytime you hear someone say, hey, the consumer's in great shape, you got to ask yourself, well, what consumer are they looking at? Are they looking at the ultra wealthy? Maybe. Obviously, someone with a dramatic amount of wealth to themselves and a large, large annual income, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a year in income. This situation is very different for them than it is for someone who might be living paycheck to paycheck or might be living on an income that is an average middle-class income somewhere between $85,000 and $110,000. Those squeezes for that class is very, very real. And we know that they make up a very large portion of the buying component.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
That goes on within a consumer-driven environment like we're in. So just a quick overview of that CPI data. There's some other things that are happening I can talk about over the next side of the break with regards to the global cost of capital and just what some of the financials companies have said yesterday as they started to report their earnings. Remember, every one of these companies now has to report reality for Q4. We're just literally starting the earnings cycle as we speak. And if we look at who's reported so far for the S&P 500, there's only been roughly like 20, 25 companies out of the 499 for the S&P that have reported. And so far, earnings growth is running a negative roughly 4.5%. That's a growth slowdown. That's happening alongside an inflation slowdown, but it's not happening fast enough for those key cost centers. And so it creates one of these environments that for risk assets, it's a very, very dangerous place. It's a very dangerous environment.
Talking this morning with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management, the website careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. Telephone number 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. Email info@careformywealth.com. We'll talk about the cost of capital. We may also talk a little bit about the Bank of Japan. We'll get to that and so much more next as Care for My Wealth with Capstone Wealth Management continues right here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game. This is Care for My Wealth here on Fox Sports 1070 The Game. Talking this morning with Chris Klein. Of course, Chris comes to us from Capstone Wealth Management. Great opportunity on the program to get informed and, of course, have a process is always important. We talk about the Go Anywhere strategy with Chris and his team at Capstone Wealth Management. You can learn more about Capstone Wealth Management on their website. Great website, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. You can follow Chris on Twitter at careformywealth and the telephone number 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. And Chris, before the break, you teased us. You said, we talk about the cost of capital. I said, oh, let's hear about what's going on. And I'm guessing it's going up, 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 up. Am I right on that?
Yeah, you're right. It is. You know, and it's not just here. It's globally, right? And so, you know, how does that affect us and why do we care? Well, most people that are listening right now probably are investors to some extent, maybe within a 401k at work, maybe individually investing on their own or a combination of the two. And if that's true, just take a look at the interior holdings of your 401k. It's going to be all the big tech names, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, blah, 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 right on down the line, right? Last time I checked, they're multinationals. In fact, I think Amazon generates somewhere to the tune, it's not Amazon, but Apple, I think, generates somewhere to the tune of 15%+ of their revenues on an international basis. So it's probably higher than that. I haven't checked the data on it in just the last several days. So what do you got? You got a global environment where its cost of capital is going up everywhere, not just here in the U.S. It's true in German bond terms. It's true in Japanese bond terms. You know, in Japan, a couple of weeks ago, we had talked about how they kind of did a surprise where they threw yield curve control out the door. What's yield curve control? Controlling their bond market's interest rates. And for the longest time, they had had a cap on their Japanese government bonds, very similar to our U.S. Treasury 10-year bond, that was capped off at 0.25%. Well, then they threw a wrench in it and said, we're going to raise that to 0.5%. Holy smokes. It's a big move. So what happened? The market instantly rose to that level. Well, overnight, Thursday night into Friday, that 50 basis point peg on JGBs, as we call them, Japanese government bonds, broke. That is not what the Japanese government wants. What did they have to do? They had to initiate another round of bond buying. In other words, quantitative easing. So here they are in the midst of global inflation problems. I mean, it's not just here, it's everywhere. And they're quantitatively easing? Well, because they have to. They have to control their bond market. They have to control bond yields. They had to do something to minimize the cost of capital, even though they've allowed the cost of capital to go up, right? So it strengthened the yen versus the dollar in quite a big way. Well, that has all sorts of implications. It's just implications that are more complex than anybody wants to hear about. It matters because, it increases that cost of capital on a global scale alongside the U.S. two-year treasury going straight up with it, right? That increased cost of capital, as I said before at the first segment of our show, causes profits to slow more, happening right when the Fed keeps a higher for longer rate stance. And that just exacerbates more cost of capital increases here in the U.S. So if you're long U.S. equities, in other words, if you own them, you are pricing your entire ownership of those equities for perfection right here. I mean, seriously, we know the Federal Reserve is going to come in and raise rates again in February. We know they're going to raise them again in March, and they're going to raise them again in May. The market's already fully priced in a rate hike for February. What does that mean? Well, it just means that if it's not priced to perfection, you get a surprise. And most of the time, markets don't like surprises. That doesn't work out so well. So if you're going to be buying this U.S. equity market right here, you have to ask yourself, why am I doing it? Am I buying it because people on CNBC are just jumping up and down and telling me that I should own U.S. equities here? Heading into a recession? Let's not forget, if you look at the average recessions that have taken place over the history of our country, U.S. equities on average fall 30%. That's average. I can't look at where we're at right now and where we have come from after the 2019 and then into the whole pandemic stuff. I can't look at this as being a normal environment. And we have talked again and again and again about how the high cost of capital and the savings rate. Let's throw that out there for a second. The personal savings rate, percentage of disposable income, is at roughly 2%. If we go all the way back to 2008, the personal savings rate was about double that. Personal savings rate matters. The Federal Reserve is pulling liquidity out of the system for the first time in the modern era. Now, I want that one to sink in for just a minute. I've talked about this before, but I don't know that I've given it enough importance that I should have. If you take a look going all the way back to 1960, the Federal Reserve has allowed for an annual monetary supply, M2, money growth to be positive year after year after year after year after year. And that includes some really bad times. 1974, 1975, they were raising the annual money supply growth on a year-over-year basis in 1974 was up 5.45%. 1975 was up 12.65%. Let's forward that out into the end of the really bad inflation cycle in the late 70s. 1980, up 8.5%. How about 1987? Everybody remembers that, right? Massive blow up in the U.S. equity market. Oh, but they still allowed money growth. Money growth is the fuel of the investment engine, Sean. Think about that. Money growth is the fuel of the investment engine. And in 1987, they allowed money growth to go up 3.6%. In 2000, they allowed it to go up 6.19%. 2001, 10.33%. 2002, 6.22%. Last time I checked, 2000 to 2002 was a pretty bad environment for U.S. equities, right?
Yes.
How about 2008? They allowed the U.S. annual money supply growth percentage to go up 9.64%. These guys have been printing and sending and printing and sending and printing and sending literally for decades through every single major drop that has taken place, which has probably helped to soften some of those drops. Now, somebody listening right now who's a student of history thinks back to the 2000 implosion and says, that was soft? Or the 2008 implosion and says, that was soft? Imagine if you didn't have the fuel for the U.S. economic investment engine coming in. Well, guess what? In 2022, the U.S. Federal Reserve allowed for the U.S. annual money supply growth to come in at a negative, hear that, negative 0.64%. Now, the naysayer will say, well, that's not much. It was negative.
Yeah.
They're draining liquidity out of the system at exactly the time that we're heading into a pretty rapid growth slowdown, simply because the consumer is more squeezed today than what they have been literally in several decades. Ask yourself, how does that end? What is it that allows for the engine of growth to take place in the economy? It's money. And they're pulling it out. So you got to step back and you got to ask yourself, okay, I'm not so sure how this whole thing plays out, but that's not the end of the wonderful, glorious news for the consumer. Consumers obviously have higher energy bills, but what about property taxes? I've had conversations with some people in many different locations where their homes and their properties have been assessed higher over the past year, which would make sense. Home price appreciation has certainly been on a tear up until about mid-year last year. And so you've got municipalities that are using that to increase the consensus of their property values. That's a problem. You mean to tell me that your property taxes are going to go up at a time that you're getting squeezed? Some people are experiencing that. Is it everywhere? No, it's not everywhere, but some people are certainly experiencing it. It's this kind of thinking that people don't think about. I mean, Sean, when's the last time you heard anybody on TV, anywhere, on any news channel, or even read in the newspaper that the annual money supply growth percentage was negative last year?
I don't think I ever read that.
I would love to challenge anyone listening to tell me where they've heard that. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think they've heard it anywhere, maybe, but here. And if that's true, well, then people are making decisions and choices as to their investment portfolio on assumptions that are not in place. Remember the mantra, hey, don't fight the Fed, right?
Yeah, yep.
Every single bull market, everybody says, don't fight the Fed. They're plugging money in. Don't fight the Fed. They're liquefying the system. Don't fight the Fed. They're cutting interest rates. Okay, I'm with you. I agree 100%. But why would I fight the Fed now? If they're doing the exact opposite, raising rates, draining liquidity, that to me speaks 100% opposite of what in fact a bull market is. And so if I'm going to not fight the Fed, I better be consistent and do it both ways. These are the things that I think investors right now are missing. And I'm saying this to this extent, Sean, because I know there are a lot of people that I've talked to over the last several weeks who truly in their heart of hearts, listening to CNBC, reading the Wall Street Journal, whatever you might want to use, and saying it's a new bull market. You're missing out. I got FOMO, fear of missing out. I got to buy. I'm getting in. And I'm saying this because I am imploring people, look, this is not over. Could we get a little bit higher move in the S&P? Yeah, sure. Sure, absolutely. I let anyone go take a look at the S&P 500 since January of last year. Now, remember, the peak in the S&P 500, which ultimately then rolled into a bear market on January the 19th, but the peak of that market was 47.97 on the S&P 500, which happened to come in on January the 3rd, first day of the year, right? Mm-hmm. First new trading day of the year. That was the peak for 2022. And every single time that the market dropped and then had a counter trend bounce and then dropped and had a counter trend bounce, every single time it bounced, what did it do? It got right at or just above the single factor 200-day moving average, right? You got a 200-day moving average and everybody goes epileptic over when a price breaks an average. Why does that matter? Why should it matter for anyone to look at just something that's a single factor in an environment as complex as global markets? I don't get it. That makes no sense to me. But people use it. People watch it. And so what happened? Every single time the S&P 500 got at or slightly above the 200-day moving average, the bulls came out. Hallelujah. The bear market's over. Here we go. And wham, got slammed right back down. And it just didn't happen once. It happened twice, three times, four times, five times. This is literally the sixth time that this has happened. Now, could we be completely wrong and everything's just going to go hunky-dory? Could the Fed come out at the end of the month and say, hey, absolutely, we were wrong. We've cut rate, or we've raised rates too much. There's too much tightness in the market. You know, people are suffering. We're going to change our course. Now, I, with my heart of hearts, do not believe in any way, shape, matter, or form that that could happen. But markets are weird. I suppose that could happen. I don't believe it. I think it's absolutely nutty thinking. I think it's absolutely detrimental thinking to your wealth. But if you think that that's true, you go ahead, buy it up, see what happens. I strongly suggest that you don't do that. But if you feel you have to absolutely go buy and own something in U.S. equity space, be smart about it. Buy the stuff that works when everything is really, really bad. Like what? How about just low beta things? How about staples? I mean, look, you still got to go grocery shopping, right? Mm-hmm. You got to have the defensive things. People still buy toilet paper and beer.
Guys.
You still go to the doctor. Yes. You got to have healthcare. You still turn on the lights. You got to have utilities. Well, those tend to be the things that work in this environment. Staples, healthcare, utilities. Okay, fine. If you want to own U.S. equities, which I'm all for, I'm not against that. I think that makes sense in terms of building a portfolio. But what I'm saying is build it smart. Don't go out there and be buying tech in the midst of an environment that hasn't seen its bottom yet as we go through and roll through this economic slowdown that's still happening. Don't go out there and buy this high beta stuff, stuff that trades at an aggressive rate above what the S&P 500 does. That doesn't make any sense. Be intelligent when it comes to attacking the market. If all you're going to do is listen to what is being told to you on TV, you're missing one singular, uber important fact. Everybody that you listen to on TV has an agenda. The Wall Street job is to sell you stock, period. If that wasn't true, then you'd find more bears on TV, and you just don't find them. They're just not out there. Right? All the bears come out when the bottom's in. Let that sink in for a minute. Go back and start watching some of the commentary that was in place in November and December of 2008. Right? Lots of bears. Oh, this is terrible. It's going to get worse. But, well, guess what? That was kind of the bottom. Right? That's what happens. You got to go against the grain. And it is so uncomfortable to do. So it's kind of like two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes you lose a little to make a lot, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's how you position your portfolio inside of a bear market. And that's all that I'm attempting to help people to do here is to, at the very least, recognize that there are some distortions happening that when you look at the fundamental importance and perspective of what the consumer is facing, and we're a consumer-driven economy, we know this. With a Federal Reserve that's raising rates into an economic slowdown at the top of the portion of the recessionary environment is not the time to get aggressively buying U.S. equities. It's the time to be smart. And if you can, maybe consider shorting them, because chances are really good that we see some downside over the next several weeks and months. And in fact, you might remember every single day we wake up and we go through a process of identifying the mathematical asymmetry, as it's called, upside and downside of every major market and pretty much everything that ticks, right?
Yeah.
Friday morning, the asymmetry of the S&P 500 was 5.6% downside to 0.5% upside. The NASDAQ was 7.8% to the downside, 0.7% to the upside. Small caps were 8.6 to the downside, 0.6 to the upside. What does that mean? It just means that there's a high and rising probability that sometime in the next 3 weeks, it wouldn't surprise me a bit to see the S&P 500 down 5, the NASDAQ and Russell 2000 down 7 and 8. wouldn't surprise me a bit. Why? Because that's what the math says. That's where we're at. So protect yourself. Recognize consumers not doing what the Fed wants them to do. They want demand to destroy even farther than what it already has. And it's got a long way to go before that demand destruction kicks in to the extent that the Fed needs it to get inflation back down to 2%.
And real quick, Chris, are we, I mean, what signals that we may be getting out of a bear market? We've still got a little bit of ways to go, don't we?
I think we do. Yeah. I mean, so ordinarily, so last year, you might remember I had a list of things that that we were looking at for, hey, this is probably what's going to signal the end of a bear market, mm-hmm. right? Or market yep. bottoming environment. And typically what we would want to see is accelerating loan growth and CapEx expansion, in other words, capital expenditures. Well, loan growth isn't happening. I mean, take a look at the financials earnings that came out yesterday. Go through and read them. I that would be awesome. Loan growth is slowing. Margins are slowing. Credit costs are going up. JP Morgan came out and says, hey, our expenses are going to be up about $5 billion. Net income probably down about $8 billion. Okay, well, that's a squeeze. So we're not seeing loan growth happen. That typically happens at market bottoms. Markets would be headed for a meaningful earnings recession and profit margin collapse. Well, we're going towards that, right? So that's good that, well, let me rephrase that. It's not good that it's happening. However, if we're attempting to look for a market bottom, we have to see all of these things take place, including and not limited to a meaningful earnings recession, which we really haven't even started yet. Mm-hmm. And we have to see the profit margins of these corporations just literally collapse. Again, the Fed told us they're going to destroy demand. Based on what's happening with the commodity space and based on what's happening with what we see in U.S. equities, I'm not so sure I'm seeing demand collapse just yet, right? So those are a few, right? I mean, ultimately, to get to a bottom, you know, the things that you really need to look for are redemptions. In other words, people doing whatever they can to get out of some of the investments that they've put in place that might ordinarily be a little illiquid. Some of the great big real estate investment trusts that trade out there in the open market have put the gates up, meaning they're not letting anybody out. No redemptions. Oh, well, why? It's because they need the capital, right? Yeah. So why would we let investors get out when we need the capital? That's a problem. That's a problem. Redemptions are something that we need to see go up. Earnings need to collapse. Margins need to get whacked. CapEx needs to go down. Capital expenditures. We need to see prices on homes go a lot lower, along with jobless claims going up a lot more. I mean, that's exactly when you get bullish, when those things, especially the jobless claims, mm-hmm. really start to tick higher. And Sean, we're just not seeing that yet. All the things that typically mark a bottom in an equity market are just not showing the signs yet. So yes, we're in the middle of a countertrend bounce. Yes, we're in the middle of a U.S. short squeeze. Yes, if you're short the U.S. market, you're getting squeezed as this is rolling higher. But every day they squeeze the market higher just increases the probability that it drops farther, alongside the fact that the Fed tightens harder because they have to tighten financial conditions that just got loosened by consumers buying stuff up.
Talking this.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And of course, we're talking this morning with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management and the world we are in right now. And of course, there's a lot of uncertainty and things are, of course, more perilous than ever. You want to make sure you have somebody that's working on your side with that go anywhere strategy, keeps you informed, and of course, has that process. Chris Klein is there for you, as is the team at Capstone Wealth Management. Today is the day to pick up the phone. Give them a call, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. And again, the website, careformywealth.com. Chris, it's always great talking with you, my friend. You enjoy this great day. A lot of great information. Thank you so much for taking the time to hang out this morning.
Thanks, man. Have a great day.
This is Care for My Wealth right here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.